my phenomenal friend Kay Spears to the stage. Yay.
So you guys, if you saw what he posted on Facebook about what he's going to look at 100 years old,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to get there. But what do you want to take with you when you're 100 years old, besides what you look like?
My health.
Yes. Good job.
Right. That was easy.
Well, I mean, you don't want someone taking care of you, and you don't want to be in a center where people are changing your diapers, and you don't feel good, and you don't have your quality of life, right?
Oh, God, I know I got the right person. No, I want to be running down the beach, riding my beach bike down my favorite beach. However old I am, that's what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So the next time you see me,
you're going to be spelt.
Okay, are you done with me?
I'm done with you.
All right, thanks, Kay. Okay. Kay Spears.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I know you guys are filled up, and it's been a long, couple of days, and I've learned so much being here, and it's been a phenomenal conference for sure. But the take home here is we can't do any of this without our health, right? Our health is our wealth. And so I'm going to tell you a story about me, because the way I got into functional nutrition was I was a nutritionist. I was helping people. I was helping people live their lives, build these great programs for people that were athletes and all kinds of different people in their walks of life. But simply, for me personally, even though I was exercising and eating right and doing all these wonderful things, I got up to get ready for work one day. My feet, can't talk today, it's been a long couple of days, my feet hit the ground and my body did not follow. So I don't know if any of you have experienced vertigo, raise your hand if you've ever experienced that in your life. I would never recommend that for anybody. And so what I thought was an inner ear infection and it was going to go away within a couple of days, it did not. It disabled me. It took away my life. It took me out for the count. And I was angry. Why me? Why, God? Why me? I'm supposed to be helping people. And I had to hold on to the walls to walk every day. I couldn't drive. And it was the most horrific experience of my life. But I'll tell you, I learned a lot. Because for me personally, I know Beverly spoke earlier. You took some of my lines today, just so you know. But I want to give you, the kudos and the grace for all of that. Because what I want to say is that the things that were playing in my life, it wasn't just physical. There was a lot of emotional stuff. We're going to talk about that today. I came from a family of attorneys. And I had to be all and show everybody who I was, federal judges, all of this, and I decided to be a nutritionist. So part of what was playing in my life was the emotional. I was trying to build a practice, write a book, and finish my master's degree at one time, and I simply crashed. I mean, vertigo was just a manifestation of what was going on in my world, and I crashed, and I was out for the count, and it took me, I probably spent hundreds of thousands of dollars all over the world going to healers, trying to get better. And that's really my walk of life and how I came back to God and my whole book. So the things I want to talk to you about today is that we're all leaders and entrepreneurs in this room. And that's what I was. And I had big dreams for myself. But when I couldn't complete that because I couldn't get out of bed, it's not a fun experience. So hopefully what I'm going to share with you today is to help you with some of these tools. And when Howard said, you're going to come speak and this is phenomenal love, I thought, that's great. This is my favorite topic. In fact, my book is The 7 Steps to a Healthy Body and Renewed Spirit. It's at the back of the room. But the things I talk about are our spiritual health, our emotional health, our lifestyle, forgiveness, longevity, ownership, vision, and execution. So I'm hoping that I give you just a little taste of some things that you can do right now when you go home into your jobs and helping others and community so that you can stay healthy and have some of these tools to be able to take with you. So the first thing is our spiritual health. You know, believing in something bigger than ourselves, right? And for me, when I was going through this whole journey and I was away from God or who my higher power is, and I don't expect your higher power to be what my higher power is. We're all different. That's okay. But for me, it's just believing in something bigger than yourself, knowing that you don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders and that there's something out there that's bigger than us that's going to help us through and help us get to that end result and also to love on us and to support us and never leave our side. We can't control what other people think, feel, say, or do, right? So if we put our idols, if we put our trust in other people, sometimes we're going to get let down because we're all from the flesh, right? And so we can't help it, but being from the flesh, that we're not always going to be perfect, and that's okay. That's okay, but for us to know that we can't control our circumstances out there and we can't control other people, and sometimes we can't control where our health goes. I think 90% of the time you can, and we're going to talk about that, but there's a 10% margin that we don't know what's going to happen to us when we walk out of this room today. And so it's just knowing that we don't have control over everything and having a peace of mind and something that's so much bigger than us that we can give that to, so it takes the weight of the world off of us so we don't have to feel like we're struggling or we're drowning. So I love this scripture. This day I call heaven and earth witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And here's the take home for that. You know, if we go and build a house and we move into this house and we move our family into this house, right? And then the house starts to fall apart, we can always move. We can sell our home, move into another house. Maybe we outgrow it. Maybe we just don't like the way it looks anymore. It just doesn't fit what our family's about. But this is the only house we have. This is it, right? So what we do with this house right now is going to take us until our day is numbered. We don't know when that is, but we have to take care of it, because if we don't, we're going to end up being sick and tired and can't get out of bed. And that's where I was, and that's the clients that I work with, is being sick and tired and sick and tired. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. So it's about taking care of ourselves. So attitude of gratitude. You know, when I was building my world and I thought that I was going to show the world who I was, I didn't get out of bed every day thinking how grateful I was. No, it was about the next thing I had to do. And now I need to go do this, and I need to show the world who I am here. And you know what? I was never grateful for anything. And so gratitude helps you to grow and expand. It brings joy and laughter into your life and into the lives of those around you. And now, you know what? Every day before I get out of bed, I know it sounds maybe corny, I have my little gratitude rock. And I'm grateful for getting up every day. I mean, I think about this conference. I mean, we're grateful to get here, right? We're grateful to have the health to get here, that maybe the team members that support us so we can step out for a week and know that we're still having, you know, revenue and that we're still able to thrive. And so it's a matter of just being grateful for our health. Maybe there's two or three things you can be grateful for today that, you know, that we can just kind of stop for a second and think that we don't have to have the whole world. We can just be grateful for our health right now. I'm a big Charlie Brown fan, and so I thought, you know, what if today we're just grateful for everything? We're just grateful that we're thriving. We're grateful that we're here. We're grateful that we heard some amazing speakers and that we get to go home now with all this new information. So now I'm going to talk about our emotional health, because it's so important. And I know there's been other speakers that have said some things, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in these areas. But, you know, where energy goes, energy flows. We all know that, right? So emotionally, we're just constantly thinking about the lack that we have. And what I'm going to talk to you about today, when I talk about emotional health, is upgrading our language. And I'm going to give you some keys that you can take home to upgrade your language, because it's not just about, sometimes it's really hard to try to rewire your brain. We've all heard Dr. Carolyn Leaf. She's amazing. And it is about what our brain thinks, what we put in our brain, the toxicity, and how if we don't give our brain the food and the power that it needs, it's literally going to turn into a dead tree. But there's some conscious language that we can have, that we can change, that I focus on with my clients on a day-to-day basis, so we can start upgrading our heartware and our language today when we leave here. And then I don't know if any of you guys have been in a 12-step program. I come from a lot of trauma, which was part of my vertigo. So if you know the HALT, you know the HALT. What does HALT stand for? No? Okay. It's hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. So what I want you to ask yourself sometimes when you're at home and you're dealing with an emotional situation, whether it be just work stuff or just personal stuff, before we make a decision, before we go to the refrigerator and get something that may not be the healthiest choice for us and what we're trying to do, before we do anything, I want you to think about what the next best thing you can do for yourself. And if you're hungry, maybe it's going to get a healthy snack. If you're angry, maybe you decompress and take some time out for yourself so that you can turn that around and not be so angry about it. If you're lonely, connect. We've been talking about connecting, right? Connect with somebody, someone you trust, somebody that you can reach out to. And if you're tired, maybe it's going to take a nap. So it's always about what's the next best thing I can do to get out of the situation. Always think about the HALT button, because it will save you in so many times. So the next one is words. I know we've talked a lot about words. So words have power. You know, the average person spends up to 1,300 words of self-talk per minute. I think that's, my husband always says, you know, it's spaghetti and waffles. You know, you guys know what that means. He's always like, honey, you're spaghetti, I'm waffle. So I think I have the 1,300 words of self-talk when he's more compartmentalized, and that's okay. But our words create thoughts, our thoughts produce feelings, and those feelings inspire our actions. So think about this. We learn, I do neurofeedback in my practice, and so I know a lot about the brain. The brain is very complex, but I will tell you that when you are learning something, it is called our prefrontal cortex. It's the front part of our brain. This is where we learn. This is where we organize. This is where we, I call it my administrative assistant, is the prefrontal cortex of the brain. Once you learn something like riding a bike or driving a car, remember when we learned how to drive a car, we would drive, we'd get in the car, we were so nervous, we didn't know what to do, and now we drive. And all of a sudden you get to your destination and you're wondering how in the heck you got there because you weren't focusing on it. That is all part becomes our subconscious. So once we have learned something and it goes to our subconscious holds all that information, and it is our kind of long-term memory. It's also our feelings and actions. And so when we're learning something, it is our conscience, and then it becomes our subconscious. So, for instance, when we tell ourselves every day, I'm not good enough, and we train our brain, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, that goes to our subconscious. Think of your subconscious as a genie in a bottle. What does that give back to you every day? I'm not good enough. You're going to get more of that. I don't have the bandwidth to get through this. I'm way too busy. That's what the subconscious is going to give you more of every day, all the time. And so I'm going to give you some upgraded language that you can carry with you, because it's so important to not only know that we can change our circumstances, that we have the proper words to kind of upgrade. So instead of saying, I want, because want is a, it's not really, what do you want? It's not really giving us enough information. I choose. I tell my clients all the time, don't say, I can't have that. I choose not to have that because it does not serve me in a healthy way. I am statements are very powerful. That's biblical. It's from the Bible. It's I am. I am good enough. I am going to get there. I am going to take my team there. I am not looking back. You know, it's just very important how we talk to ourselves. And the other thing that I don't do, and I used to do all the time, is I used to say, this is making me crazy. I don't say that anymore. I am bananas. You know, we have to really focus and stop ourselves. And still to this day, as much as I preach this and talk about it and teach it, I will still, my husband could probably get up here right now and tell you how many times, you know, I sit there and tell him, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to try. None of that resonates with the subconscious. In fact, when I have a client that tells me I'm going to try this week, when I come back next week, I'm going to try. I already know they're not going to accomplish what they're talking about. Because try doesn't work for the subconscious. It's not going to get us anywhere. All right, so pay attention to your thoughts, catch the negative patterns. I know you guys heard this already, so I'm just going to go through this. Disengage from negative conversations. Writing reinforces and speaking the truth in love. It's very powerful. If we resonate with our heart and we speak in truth, then we're going to get where we want to go, feel what we want to feel, and have the people in our lives that are going to help us get there. So I think it's all about, you know, what I always say is that, and I don't know, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. I'm probably going to date myself. I'm going to say it anyway. Do you remember when we had the computers? I ask my young clients this now, and they look at me like deer in the headlights. Do you remember when we had the computers and we had to do the defrag thing? You would have to turn on your computer, raise your hand, like, I'm not the only one out there. I always think it's like the little Pac-Man, right? The Pac-Man goes across and you're defragging your computer. We simply have to do that with our brains, right? We get all messed up and we got to go in and defrag. And so we need to upgrade to a new human operating system that's going to take new hardware. So may you instantly and in perfect divine order connect with truth within your heart of hearts and confidently speak only what you choose to have manifest now and continually with ease and grace. And so it is, and it is good, it is very good. That's what I want you guys to remember. All right, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. And the reason I put this in here is because I call it the disease to please. And I think we all suffer from that to some extent. So the disease to please, and I want you to ask yourself, how many of you do you say yes when you really mean no? And I know it's about our community, and it's okay to say yes, but sometimes it's really okay to say no. It's okay to have a boundary. Are you consistently aware of what others are thinking and feeling while you feel unsettled or feel fearful that you may be the cause of someone's upset? Do you always check in with others about what they desire without checking in with yourself first? That used to be me. What is everyone else feeling? How are they doing? Never once did I think to check in with myself. Even if you're doing for others, do you feel empty yourself? You don't have enough in your tank to give because your cup is not full to begin with. Are you vague when describing your needs or choices? Does bringing up something which will rock the boat stress you out? And do you apologize when you don't need to? Oh my gosh, that was me. I was always, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Sorry for what? I didn't do anything. What are we sorry for? This is so important because in order to have a harmonious relationship with other people, we need to be empowered to work together, because if not, we're more codependent than we are empowering each relationship and becoming harmonious with our relationships we're involved with. So lifestyle. Lifestyle is not just a diet, right? It's not just, hey, when I leave here for 1 week, I'm going to apply all these different things. Lifestyle is doing something lifelong. It's for the longevity. So I want you to read this because this is what Medicare says, okay? And what I want you to know is that whatever Medicare says, all the insurance companies follow. So what does this say right here? Care that seeks to prevent disease, promote health, and prolong and enhance the quality of life is not considered medically necessary. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's what they say. I'm going to show you this video right now. Hopefully my video will work, right? Do I,
What will your last 10 years look like? Will you be quick enough for a game of tag with your grandchild? Strong enough to embrace every moment? With vitality, or get old with disease? It's time to decide.
Last 10 years in sickness. Everyone in this room wants to be a powerful leader and an entrepreneur, and we all have big goals for our life and our future, but yet we're building and building and building, but we don't take care of our health. And then we end up the last 10 years like my mom, who went her whole life working super hard. She finally got to retirement and couldn't get out of bed, because she had maxed out what we call our fight or flight system, our adrenals, and she pounded and pounded and pounded and didn't take care of herself until she was just, you know, she's on 15, 16 medications. She doesn't listen to me, but she could be off of them. But the point is, she waited her whole life, and it was about, when I retire, I'm gonna do this. When I retire, I'm gonna travel. What if we don't have when we retire? What if what we have is right now? So we have to take care of our health. We have to take care of us. So we're in a health crisis. And so I have a medical background. I work with lots of MDs. They will all tell you, and I'm sure you all recognize when you go to the nearest Walgreens down the street and there's a line out the door of people waiting for their medications. We go to school and we're told that when we go work for a company, make sure you get a medical card, that you get a health insurance card that does what? If it doesn't help us promote our health, it's sick care. Yes, it's there. It's good for if we break a bone, we get in a car accident, we need that lifeline, we need that insurance card that's going to get us to the hospital and get us the best care as possible. But is that enough? Is that enough? Because I will tell you that when you get in a car accident, you do not want to, let's say a rock flies up and hits your windshield, you do not want to report that to your insurance, right? Because we don't want our deductible to be higher. It's not really going to pay for much anyway. You know, we get cancer, we get some disease, and what does insurance do? They drop us. So it's not our reliable source to be able to take care of ourselves long term. Whoops. So this is America's health crisis. I love this. You know, that dog's getting a lot of exercise, but I don't know about the person in the car. And I know some of you guys, do you remember, were you guys here when Ernestine Shepherd? I know she was here not too long ago. I saw her and I thought that was so cool because I talk about her all the time, right? So she goes to the doctor. She's older in life. Not old, really. She's really young, but she goes to the doctor and they tell her, I don't know what to tell you, you're getting old. She took measures into her own hand. I'm not saying we all need to be Ernestine Shepherd and go out and be, you know, bodybuilders, but she had a choice. She could have been on a bunch of medications and she could have taken that road, or she could have just been proactive with her health, and she chose to be proactive. We have choices every day. So let's talk about nutrition. That brings me to, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. That's Hippocrates. This is the reason why doctors take an oath today. Food is our medicine. It can be our enemy, but it can be our friend. It's what we make of it and what we choose about it. And so I'm going to ask you, you see this plant here, and I am not a green thumb by any means. I'll be the first person that does not have plants in my home because they probably won't live because I don't know what to do with them. But this is pretty standard here. And if this plant were in my office, sitting by me, and I were looking up at it, I would think, oh my gosh, this plant needs
water.
Thank you. What else does it need?
Grass.
Thank you. Okay. A little more soil, give it some nutrition, right? What else?
Sunshine,
right? What are we talking about here, guys? The fundamentals of nutrition. Give it some, detox the plant, move it to some fresh soil, give it some nutrition, give it some light, give it some water. What's going to happen to this plant? It's going to thrive. Did you think for 1 second to go in your cabinet and take a prescription medication drug and go pour it on this plant? Did you think of that? No. You know, I have people come in to see me every day and they look like this plant. In fact, you know, I don't even recognize them when they come in. I tell them, look, we're just going to do some nutrition stuff. I do a lot of functional testing, a lot of different things. But I say, right now, we're just going to change your nutrition. I'm just going to give you the building blocks. They come back. They're sitting in my office. I don't even recognize them. They look like the lights came on. They got some sunlight, some water, some nutrients, and they're a different person. And that is all I did, is change their nutrition. So what do we need? We need food that gives us energy. If we just cut out the sugar, the processed foods, and the genetically modified foods, and we took in some healthy quality proteins, some good plant-based fats, I mean, we don't even have to go all extreme. We could just do modifications, but I will tell you this right now, a little nutrition 101. When you take in a nutrient that does not resonate with your cell, so in other words, you're eating a processed food, a genetically modified food, there's no nutrient value to that food, you take that in, our cells, we are energy. We're energy. Our cells resonate at an energy force. And when you take in a toxic food, the body does not resonate with that at all. So we are depleted. So in order for us to be, to give our bodies what it needs, we just need to give it a little bit of food and light and sunshine, and our bodies will work for us on an ongoing basis. And then forgiveness. You know, I think this was a big one for me. So there is a pastor that talks about the root of all diseases, dis-ease, is unforgiveness. And maybe there's people in our lives that have done something. Our family is usually the best ones, right? At that, family, friends, the people closest to us. And so we harbor this resentment in our body and we can't let it go. And sometimes we don't even know it's there. Maybe we're not forgiving ourselves for something maybe that we did to someone else. That is going to, you know, I talk about that in my book, just the root of just disease and what we're not getting back in life is this unforgiveness. And what my grandmother used to tell me, you know, she had so much wisdom, she used to tell me, while you're home crying, they're out dancing. And they don't even know or care what you're home crying about. And so, you know, forgiveness is to forgive, is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. So It's decision to let go of resentment. Hey, we don't have to. If someone has really wronged us and there's been some really bad things that have gone on in our world, including myself, we don't have to let it go. We don't have to discount what was done for us. But we can let go of the charge that's associated with us that's bringing us down. We can cancel that debt. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. Sometimes it has to be something that you keep doing. But I'm asking you that if you're in a place where you're doing all of these things, maybe you're doing the nutrition stuff. You know, I always tell my clients, I can do, if I look at all your physiology and I do all your labs and I do all these different things and I put you on a program and I put you on a lifestyle program and you're still not getting better, there's another thing going on here, and it's either spiritually, emotionally, forgiveness. There is something else that's not allowing you to get well. And that was me for 3.5, 4 years. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get better. I couldn't get better because emotionally I was so out of whack that I couldn't even fix myself and no one else could fix me. So I'm just asking you to look at all these different things in your life and explore that because it's worth looking at. So longevity. So I really want you to ask yourself, has your life been affected by relationships? Your ability to work and enjoy life? How is your ability to work and love life and enjoy life? How would life be if you were able to love yourself and have a little bit of self-care? And how motivated are you to evolve? The thing is, we're all going to go home after this, and we're creatures of habit. And we're going to go home and we're going to plug in and we're going to start doing the same thing that we do every day. And all this information is going to go where, right? We get to decide. Is it going to change us? Is it going to motivate us to evolve? And I love this. Tell me and I may remember. Show me, I will remember. Involve me and I will understand. So when we get involved and we actually involve people around us, it's kind of like when you go to school and you learn this stuff and you learn this stuff and you learn this stuff, but you don't really know how to apply it. When you get involved in it and you actually do it, you're going to understand your why and what you're doing. So what is your why? Maybe right now it's not for you. Maybe right now your why is for your children, or your grandchildren, or your nieces and your nephew, or your pet. If it's not for you right now, who is your why for? Because our existence is precious here, and it's got to be for something. We have to make a difference somehow. My why is I love to travel. I'm hoping we can get back there where we can travel all over the world. These two, you know, my husband, of course, center of my why, thank you, and God. But then I have these two little nuggets, these three-year-old labs over here that are 90 pounds that they don't care if I'm sick and I don't want to get up and get out of bed or I'm too tired. They want exercise. They want love. And so this is the why that gets me up every day and charges me to want to take those next steps. Yes, it's for me, but it's also for the people around me, because I don't want my husband taking care of me. I always tell him, I've already been in a place where I don't have my quality of life. We've only been married 6 years. I got married older. I don't want to have to take care of him, and I don't want him to have to take care of me, although I know in our vows we said we would do that, honey. Sorry. I just, if we can help it, I don't want to have to do that. So, ownership. You know, make this about you, about owning your part, owning your self-love, taking care of yourself and having ownership so that you can go out and be everything you're supposed to be, so that you can have the longevity and the lifestyle, and that you have to make it personal. You have to be in your story. It's got to be about you, so we got to take ownership in that. And there's Beverly, where you stole my line. So yes, we get on the plane, and they tell you, before you put the mask on anyone else, you have to put it on yourself first. So a lot of us are caregivers. We take care of everyone else before ourselves. And the bottom line is, I see these people in my practice day in and day out. And the bottom line is, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of anybody else. It doesn't matter if you have a disabled child, if you're a caregiver for a family member, whatever the case may be, we cannot take care of anybody else if we don't take care of ourselves first. And then vision. So, you know, I think vision is so powerful. I love T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes talks all the time about sketching and a pencil of what you're later on going to weld with a metal. You know, and he inspires me every day. And we have to have a vision. We have to be able to have short-term visions and long-term visions, but we have to know where we're going. And I know we've been talking about it this whole time, but how many of you have a vision of where you want to be with your personal health? How many of you have a personal vision of what that's going to look like the next 3, 6, 9, and 12 months? And it's not about being the fittest person in this room. It's about being mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually fit so that you can do what you are called to do. That is the vision. And so, Jeremiah, okay, skipping ahead here. I'm all over the place. Here we go, Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. And God has big plans for us, right? He does. Sometimes we just need to get out of our own way and do what he's calling us to do, and taking care of ourselves and doing all these different things and going home and implementing everything we've learned here. It's already there for us. We just have to tap into that and get out of the way with all of our, you know, self-talk and all of our different things that keep us from being the best that we can be. So 94% of all failure is due to not having a vision and a plan. So I'm going to ask you guys right now. I'm not asking you to predict if you walk out of here, if you're still going to live, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I'm asking you, do you think that you could possibly predict your future in health? You think you could? If we weren't taking, you know, 15 medications and we didn't have diabetes, so we decide that we're going to go get on a medication for diabetes, but we're still going to go home and eat bagels and donuts and do all of these things that we think that medication is going to save us for, when all that medication is causing another issue and another issue and another issue, do you think that you could possibly predict the future of your health? Yes? Anybody? Yes? Can I see some hands?
Yes.
We can. We give the body what it wants. We have mentorship. We have somebody show us. We're coaching, just like in here. We have to, if we don't know the answer, we don't have to know all the answers. We just have to find someone who can mentor us, coach us, tell us what we need to do, help us, and own our stuff. Own our stuff and stop putting the blame on everyone else. Own it. We can predict the future of our health. And so execution. So it's about walking out of this room today and getting home. And you're tired. I can see you guys. Some of you are yawning. It's been long. There's been a lot of information. What are you going to do when you get home? Put all the information you had on a shelf and get back to business and start cranking it out. Are you going to take a step back and reflect on what you can do to execute all of this information you've learned for the last 2 days? Are you going to go home and execute it? That's what I call you to do, is actually when you get home to execute it. And we got to wake up and stop procrastinating. And I'll tell you this, you know, during the pandemic and during the virus, I mean, I have educated people all over the world. My practice is virtual. And I will tell you, I know that COVID and all these things have been horrible, but you know, we've got to stop procrastinating. We've got to stop putting off what we can do today to take care of our health, our longevity, and to be the healthiest that we can be, because it does make a difference. I have watched some of my patients die. I've watched some of them live. But the bottom line is that we can get there if we take the steps together, and you just take a couple of little steps on working on your health and your well-being and applying these different things. So fear has crushed more dreams than failure ever will. So we've got to get out there and not be in fear and just do it and just go. And then the last thing I want to leave you with is that the human body is magnificent creation, needing proper care and nourishment. And I love Howard because he always talks about the phenomenal you. I've been on an airplane with him. I've seen him go up to the flight attendants and ask them, "Do you think you're phenomenal?" And you know what? If we really think about it, we are. Everybody is, right? Because to actually conceive a child, two healthy individuals, there is a 20% chance that they're going to conceive a baby. So you don't think that every single person in this room, every single person in this universe was here for a reason, that God wanted us to be here, that we have a difference to make, that there's something we're supposed to be doing? Because you guys are magnificent. Everybody is magnificent. And so what I want to offer you guys is, you know, what I wanted to do for everyone here is, if you want to ever get me on the phone, I can talk to you about your health goals. I can help you. I can be that mentor. You don't have to utilize that, but I wanted to offer it to each and every one of you today. And all it is for us to jump on a phone call, because I would love nothing more than to see you expand on everything you're doing and everywhere you're going, and I want that to include your health, because again, your health is your wealth. None of this means anything if you're not investing in you and your health. So thank you guys for having me here today.
Awesome.